Time for the best 5 minutes of the day. It is 5:45. Yeah, 14.5 before 6 and 58 degrees. And boy, Jason Kahn, it's been a long time. I haven't seen you in almost 2 days. How you doing?
Good, good. How are you doing this morning?
I am tip-top, as my late professor Henry Lippold would say. So,
very good.
All right, we got a lot to pack into the sandwich here this morning. By the way, I did see some cute pictures of your granddaughter, your daughter Grace, posted. So, Rosalie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, trying to capture her smiling. She smiles a lot, and to get them on a picture, she finally was able to do that. So, that was good.
Yeah, very good. All right, so I want to start, before we get to Song of Songs and Galatians, I want to start with social media and mental health. I was having lunch with someone in ministry a few months back, and this guy said, I got off Facebook a long time ago. He's like, I'd see people, he said he would see people post there, and he's like, he knew that wasn't the real story, the full, I'm just going to be honest. I mean, I've tried to all the time, but I mean, I think that, and that's when people share about like their marriage, and it could be anniversaries or different things, but it just feels like you're comparing what you, and I know we shouldn't compare, right? You feel superior or inferior, but
right.
I can't
right.
help but go, everybody's got a better marriage than us. So.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's true, right? I mean, we see everybody has better kids than we do. Everybody has a better job than we do. Everybody has a better marriage than we do. Because people select what they post on social media, and they
and we probably do too,
for
too.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, you know, and I think we post things that bring us joy and bring us happiness, so that some of that makes sense.
Yeah,
but it seems a lot harder to post things like, "Man, I just had a fight with my spouse, and we haven't spoken for 24 hours."
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Or I don't know how I can make it to another day of work. I mean, we don't post things like that.
Yeah.
Because part of it, we're encouraged by positive news, but that comparison thing definitely occurs.
Yeah. I mean, occasionally maybe you'll see a person or two who does post something along those lines, and then that feels kind of awkward, right? So, you know.
Sure. Right. Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Well, I just needed to get that off my chest this morning. So thank you.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Send me the counseling bill. All right. We got.
Sure.
Love Letter 22 in 66 Love Letters, Larry Crabb's book. I Will Teach You How to Dance is the Song of Songs. And from the epilogue, the story everyone needs to hear, the Bible in 66 paragraphs, unpacked as if the Lord himself was summing up each book in a paragraph. This is what we got for Song of Songs. Before you get your reaction, he says, I love you. My son loves you. My spirit loves you. You taste our love only a little compared to its abundance. Through everything that happens, we are drawing you closer to us, forming you more like my son. We are bringing you to our party. We are bringing our party to you. You will enjoy our feast of love. Another great one from Larry.
Absolutely. I think, again, getting back to that idea of love, and in here he touches on that the beauty of Trinitarian love. And, you know, he was fond of the term perichoresis, which is kind of how the Spirit of God flows Father, Son, and Spirit flow into one another in kind of a dance. And I think he's getting at that here and how we're invited into that.
Oh, I don't want to be a troublemaker, but sometimes I can't help it. I just, I believe that the Trinity is so, and that the fact that our God is a relational God, you've got it as a chapter in the Upper Room book.
Notes from the Upper Room.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's just, it needs to be mentioned every Sunday. It needs to be mentioned every time we get together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a side doctrine. It's really central to what we believe as Christians.
It's not a side dish that you bring to the potluck.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thanks for letting me get that off my chest. All right. I'm just racking up a big bill here today. All right. Finally, Galatians 5:10-12. Hit me with it.
Yeah. It says, I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who has been confusing you. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves.
Okay, and you sum it up. It's been a few years, but how was it to kind of rework this passage in your devotional commentary?
You know, I don't remember it being anything. I mean, this is one of those stark passages in the New Testament, but I don't remember it being like, oh my gosh, what am I going to say here? You know, I think it's, we feel Paul's passion, and that's a good thing.
All right.
In this section.
Here's what you actually said. Remind yourself of my grace every day. Who was that said that preached the gospel? John Owen, I think, that Jerry Bridges quoted. Let me deal with those who oppose my graciousness. Paul understood that the cross was far more offensive than circumcision because it took your ability to save yourself entirely off the table. That is profound, Jason, and I'm going to have to ponder that. But pride is attracted to self-salvation strategies. Paul was so passionate about my message of grace that he expressed his frustration with vivid imagery. Quote, I wish those who are unsettling you by demanding circumcision would cut off their manhood, unquote. Let the reality of my grace stoke your passion. Final thought.
Yeah, again, I think we really feel how strongly Paul felt about this. And he really, really, really stressed grace and that it's grace alone. And I think that's good for us to remember. And I know for me, it can sneak back in this idea of self-salvation or needing to do more. And Paul's saying, no, it's grace and grace alone that saves us.
The offensiveness of the cross.
Right.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. There we go. Our buddy Jason Kanz here on WWIB helping me get some things off my chest here on a Monday morning on the WIB Wake Up Show. The WIB Wake Up Show, it is a Monday morning recap on this August 7th, and I'll title mine Ferret and Food. That's not all the weekend had, but that's at least some. So it's my wife's away, obviously, and three of my kids were away as well. So it was just down to Michael and Grace and me. And so Saturday morning, yes, I have my usual breakfast with friends at Randy's, right? And so all of a sudden, I had let the ferret out. Gizmo was pounding on his cage. Let me out of here. And so I let him out. But the big thing, Caleb, is when Gizmo gets out, you got to make sure the door to the basement and the upstairs is closed. I had checked the basement. I thought, well, how could the upstairs? Yeah, it was open. So, and I knew that meant the ferret had gone out the dog door and was outside. And I'm like, I got to leave in a couple minutes. So I went out, and by the grace of God, there he was a short time later. So,
do ferrets come when you call them?
Sometimes, yeah.
Really? Huh.
Sometimes. I mean, he's usually like asleep in some hidden cavern, but then he'll sometimes come out. So that was good because I don't want to tell my wife I lost the ferret.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, two food things. Yesterday it was like a volunteer appreciation day at church. And so they had a luncheon afterwards.
Nice.
Brats and things. And so I decided with my brat, I was going to listen to the people who say you should only put mustard on the brat. Because I don't know, whatever part of Milwaukee I'm from, a lot of people put ketchup on, too.
Sure.
So I went with just the spicy brown mustard. I think that's the way I'm going to go. That was really good. Outstanding brats yesterday. And then also, Rachel Opwan and her daughter come around with fresh out of the oven chocolate chip cookies and asked if you wanted one. Are you kidding
me? Well, of course you're going to say yes to that.
I know. So that was Ferret and Food.
I was going to play a Jason Gray song, but I was thinking now I should play When I Say Yes, because that's what I would have said, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Our weekend had a lot of time up in Rice Lake. It was great. So it was cousin camp. So starting Friday, all the cousins, I believe, 4 years of age and up, all got together at Grandpa and Grandma's at my parents' house, too. And again, my mom is so organized and loves her grandkids. I mean, and they just had activity after activity, all sorts of things. And man, the kids were looking forward to this for such a long time. It did not disappoint. So
what a great idea.
Yeah. So
how many kids?
Well, I'm trying to remember how many were actually there. I believe they had close to a dozen
there.
Uh-huh. But yeah, so we were able to get together when we did pick up and had just kind of a little bit of an early birthday celebration. My mom has a good milestone birthday coming up on Thursday, and so not everybody's going to be there at that time. So we had a little bit of a birthday celebration, kind of a little surprise for her, and at Rue Park, played a little baseball with the cousins out there, and just a great time. And then came back on Sunday for church and some more hanging out time at my parents' house. We played some games both days, too. Played a game called Hot Seat, which is kind of like Balderdash, if you've ever played that, but a kind of a good game getting to know
folks, too.
Yeah, and then earlier we played, if you've ever played the card game Scum, thanks to Evelyn and Poppy. Great to see you guys. There's some WIB listeners and also some students, former students as well, two of my little sister Promise. So always good to see you guys and hang out with you. And so, yeah, we had some great family and friend time yesterday.
Well, I tell you what, Cousin Camp, what a creative and fun idea.
Yeah, well, you know what? How about they all got T-shirts, too. Like, they literally had tie-dye shirts that said Cousin Crew 23 and had their name emblazoned on the back. That is,
talk about just memories, right?
I know. That was pretty cool.
Stop trying to amuse yourself and start thinking about what makes actual human beings laugh.
But it's been 2 weeks since we've come with our jokes on a Make Us Laugh Monday. So here we go for the first time in August. My first one this morning. You know, Caleb, I'll be honest. I went to the bathroom without my phone, just like my ancestors did.
Oh, man. There you go. Let's see. My first joke. You know, so I'm going to go back into the well of bulletin bloopers again today. So things that actually appeared in church bulletins. Here's one. This Friday, the church will host an evening of fine dining, super entertainment, and gracious hostility.
Hospitality.
Hospitality. Pretty sure that's what they meant.
Yeah, ouch. Yeah, those were funny. Hey, you know, so the possums were all gathered around the dinner table. The daddy possum, the mommy, and the little boy possum, and the dad yelled, "Play dead as long as you like, young man. These Brussels sprouts will still be there."
Oh, man. How about this one on a Make Us Laugh Monday on the WIB Wake Up Show? Real bulletin bloopers. This one. Low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday at 7 p.m. Please use the back door.
Oh, man.
As if my self-esteem wasn't bad enough. And finally this morning, Caleb, why was the mushroom invited to all the cool parties?
I have a guess.
Because he was a fun guy.
Sorry, I was going to try to repeat it for you, and then I played the laugh too early. It's funny. I thought it was funny before and after you gave the punchline. Thanks, Evo. And one final here for Make Us Laugh Monday bulletin bloopers. How about this one? Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church. Please use large double door at the side entrance.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it okay to laugh at that? Is that put?
Someone forgot to proofread, or, you know, you don't always find these things out until after someone points them out. Thank you, everyone who does church bulletins. You are so appreciated. It's not an easy job. Mm-hmm. It's the WIB Wake Up Show, WWIB, where we are family. 68 degrees, 14 minutes past 8 o'clock. Caleb and Halvo with you, and Mike Cahoon, founder of Hope Village, joins us. Mike, welcome, and we're looking forward to having a big event with you at the end of the month here on the 26th.
Well, thank you, Caleb, and yes, we're looking forward to that, too. It should be a fun time.
So tell me a little bit about, again, WWIB's 50th anniversary event, also serving as a benefit for Hope Village. For those who may say, well, I've heard about this, but don't know exactly what it is. Could you just tell us a little bit about how this began?
Yeah, back in 2014, the Harmony House, which was run by an organization called Starting Points, lost their funding and had to close down, the only homeless shelter in Chippewa County. And a group called the Chippewa Falls Mission Coalition, which is a group of currently at 17 churches and probably that many social agencies that work together to try to solve the community's situations and fill needs, had a forum in December of 2015 or 2014. And we met and talked over the months about some ideas about how we might be able to solve that shelter situation. And one of the ideas that I kind of threw out, sometimes I feel like the odd uncle who has these ideas. Everybody else is like, where did that come from?
Yeah, right.
But we threw out the idea about doing something with tiny houses. So after 18 months of meetings, I'm not a great meeting guy if things aren't happening. So I got some friends together from Landmark Christian Church, and we built the first tiny house, thinking if we built one and we took it around and showed it to businesses and showed it to churches and organizations, that maybe people would think it was a decent idea.
Yeah.
And so we built one and did that, and it kind of just took off from there. We have 11 houses now. We've been in existence since January of 2016.
And really, this is something, too, that we've seen kind of an outpouring of community support, of God's blessing on Hope Village, to the point that originally these tiny homes were housed on church properties, and you still have the ability to do that, but now you actually have land, you have tiny homes on that land, and phases to continue to grow to make sure that there are no unsheltered in our community.
Yeah, five local churches partnered with us for 5 or 6 years to host our tiny houses, and again, a number of other churches partnered with us and allowing us to store our inventory or giving of funds, and especially prayer. So we certainly love that connection that we've had with churches. And most of our volunteers, I'd say 90% of our volunteers, come out of the churches in the area.
Huh. Mike, I remember Hope at the River 2019. That was for Hope Village and the tiny houses. And here we are celebrating WIBS 50 years on the air, August 26th. And again, the same deal. So we're really excited to partner with you again. So.
Yeah, we are too. It's just, it's good to be able to have these events where families come together and have fun. But we can also share our story with people, because I think still there's somewhat of a misunderstanding of what homelessness looks like in the Chippewa Valley. So to be able to have some time to present that, to tell people our story, is really important.
And maybe briefly here, Mike, how significant, how large is this need, this homelessness need that Hope Village is combating?
Yeah, we had talked earlier, Caleb, but we have a group called the Chippewa County Homeless and Hunger Advocacy Group. So we get together each month and collect from churches and other agencies the numbers. And currently in Chippewa County, each month we have about 240 people, give or take, that are housing insecure. So they're either homeless or about to become homeless. We talked a little bit about the Chippewa County Housing Authority. The Chippewa County Housing Authority helps folks who are homeless get into subsidized housing. And they're able to get federal money every year in the $2 million range. And they have a waiting list that's about 8 months long. So the situation in the Chippewa Valley is, there's funding available and there's people waiting, but the affordable housing, that there's just not a very big supply of it in the area.
Well, I'm just curious. I mean, you guys have been a role model for other cities that are looking. I live in Eau Claire. I presume they can look and say, wow, how could we do that? Was there a city that you guys looked at when you started with the tiny houses and now even with Hope Village?
Yeah, I think when we started, there were like 4 or 5 tiny house villages that had come out of what were called homeless encampments, where there were tent cities. And all of those were out in the Pacific Northwest. So I had started reading about them and doing some research. But about the time that we were starting to kind of kick in with the idea, we found out that Madison, Wisconsin had a group called Occupy Madison that came out of a political movement, and they had 3 tiny houses on a piece of property that they had recently bought. And prior to that, they had these 3 tiny houses, and they had to move them from street to street to street to kind of stay within the city ordinances. They couldn't sit in one place for very long. And so a number of our core people that were looking at the idea, we drove down to Madison and took a look at it. And that's a little bit different. We're transitional in nature in the Occupy Madison movement. Those houses, once somebody's in it, it's their forever home.
Okay.
talking with Mike Cahoon from Hope Village. And again, you'll be hearing more about Hope Village all throughout this month. And thank you again to all the sponsors helping make our 50th anniversary event possible, including our presenting sponsor, Marquardt Motors, Buick, and GMC. All of the sponsors you'll hear about this are all giving a donation to Hope Village along with their sponsorship. But I know there's a need for volunteers, Mike, but maybe real briefly as well, could you touch on what you were doing? Because you talk about, again, this 8-month waiting list, this bottleneck with people who are in need of housing, housing insecure, might be homeless at any moment. And so you guys, beyond just the tiny homes, are now moving into a phase, a capital campaign. And you're saying if there's not affordable housing, we are going to build it.
Yeah, one of the situations that we run into is when we house a family, and we've been housing large families, families of 5 and 6.
Yeah.
We currently have a single mom with 5 children who's a preschool teacher. So looking at that situation, a young mom has got children to take care of, doesn't have a ton of extra time, is working in a great career as a teacher, but not getting paid a whole lot. And so what we've found is as we match our households up with mentors, we usually work on 3 things in their secure living plan. One has to do with income. One has to do with health resources. And the third one is housing. And our bottleneck is always the housing piece. We can help people find jobs pretty quickly. We can help them get reestablished with their health resources. But finding that housing just takes us a long time. Our average stay right now is about 150 days. But in special situations, someone might have to stay with us for 6, 7, 8 months before we can find housing for them.
Yeah, yeah. So again, hopevillage.org to find out more. And we'll continue to touch on this because there's so many aspects, multifaceted. But again, Mike, we appreciate you coming in. And I know if folks can go to the website, find out more about your capital campaign, about volunteer opportunities, which are vital as well. So we appreciate the first opportunity to talk with you this month. And I know we'll probably chat with you and others from Hope Village and that kind of army of volunteers that you want to add to later on this month as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Caleb. Thanks, Mark.
Well, I got to say, you know, that verse in Ephesians 10, which is so great, right? After the famous, it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And verse 10 says that we're God's workmanship created to do these good works he's planned for us to do. And over the weekend, as I felt like I was doing pet sitting, as my wife is the missionary, the executive director of Teamwork Africa out in Liberia, had the Starfish Kids Day. It was actually yesterday, bumped back from Saturday. But I'm like, God prepared this pet care in advance for me to do. I mean, you know,
that's a good perspective to have. I'm not sure if I could have done that.
No, and I felt like he said, Mark, I'm looking for deeper humility because there's a lot of dog walking. There was making sure the ferret doesn't escape. There's, you know, other obvious things, the feeding, and they need extra attention. And so, and we have a story about pets.
Yes, I suppose the side benefit is now you'll be more happy and successful. According to a study, this study found that owning a pet increases your chance of being both happy and more successful.
Yeah, you start off by getting a pet. The study finds that owning a pet increases your chances of just that, happiness and success.
In the study, dog and cat owners over the age of 55 were as likely to consider themselves, were more likely,
presumably, yeah.
Yeah, to consider themselves a success.
And those without a pet are fortunate enough to bring home over $5,000 more a year than those without. Those with a pet.
Yeah. So basically they're saying you're going to make more money. Now you're going to spend all of that on the pet.
Yes, yes.
But you will feel better about it.
Yeah, especially maybe just when you take them to the vet. That's about the bill,
yeah,
right there.
We're dealing with that soon as well. But yeah, according to at least one study somewhere, pets equal happiness
they
and success.
It's great to love. They love on you.